The Holy Gospel according to John. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave him a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse and used to steal so that he that which was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to look at our second lesson today, where Paul talked about pressing on to the call of the heavenly prize of God in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the secrets to a successful life is to have goals and to pursue those goals, to keep your eyes fixed on the goals that you have in life. The secret is to have the right goals, however. You know, last year a picture went viral on the internet, and it shows a guy here who's right off of Redondo Beach. There's the whale that's breaching right in front of his boat, and you may not be able to tell, but he's texting on his phone. He's so engrossed in his phone that he doesn't even notice this whale breaching right in front of him. And so isn't that the way? We get involved in things that don't really matter and miss the important things. To set our goals. You know, when Wendy and I were in seminary, they had a retreat for married couples, and they said, you know, make a 10-year goal. And as we were graduating from seminary, we had a 10-year goal that in 10 years we hope to have 3 children, we hope to be living in California. She wanted to be a Lutheran teacher, and I wanted to be a Lutheran pastor. And in 10 years, we had 3 children. We were living in California. I was a Lutheran pastor. She was in a Baptist school, but she was still a Lutheran teacher. And the next few years, we made that goal finally, and for the last 25, she's been in the Lutheran school in Covina. But it's when you set goals, you don't always make them, but you're much more apt to achieve those things when you say, this is what I want to do with my life, and then pursue them. Well, our text today in Paul is all about setting goals and pursuing them. Now, Paul tells you when he was younger, he could boast of being, you know, if anybody wants to boast, he says, I could boast. He says, I was the ideal Jew, you know, born of Hebrew parents, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the sect of Pharisees, and according to the law, blameless. I mean, he was zealous, and his goal was to achieve personal self-righteousness by obeying the law, and he did it as well as anyone. And he was so zealous, not only did he do that for himself, but then he persecuted anybody else who didn't follow the law just in the same way that he did. And so before his conversion, he was like many, many radical people, whether it's Christian or Muslim or Orthodox Jew, radical. Well, not only did they believe in what they believed, but persecuting anybody who didn't believe what they believed. But what Paul discovered later in his life was that was not the goal to be pursued in life. That's not what life is about, simply trying to have a righteous life under the law. And he discovered grace. And after grace, he no longer boasted about himself and how good a Jew and how faithful and righteous he was. He boasted about God. He boasted how gracious God was, how loving God was. And now instead of a life that was focused on him and his righteousness, his life changed. It focused on God and God's grace. And really, that's the focus that we're to have in our lives. We're not just here to obey law, but to come and worship and to say, God, what you did on the cross, how can I not but rise every morning and be thankful for the gift of grace that you have shown me? And that's what Paul discovered, that gift of grace, and faith in God's grace changes everything. Once we see what God has done for us on the cross, we don't have to fear, am I good enough? Because we know God is gracious enough. And so that gives us peace and joy in this world. Because Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And it starts now. Because when we have faith in God's grace, that's what gives us an abundant life. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us a reason to give thanks each and every morning. That's the abundant life that starts now. And then, as Paul said, then it becomes that heavenly prize that awaits us, where it reaches its fulfillment in the life to come. And so his life totally changed. And he changed from a life, again, thinking about his own righteousness to celebrating God's grace. And as part of that, he was willing to suffer in this world for the sake of serving Jesus. The one verse in Philippians that is such a powerful verse, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Paul actually said, I hope that by making sacrifices in this world, I can be like Jesus. Not that he needs to be crucified on a cross, but that live that sacrificial life even as Jesus lived for others here on this world. And so he was willing to endure suffering for the sake of that goal of the heavenly call, the prize of heaven that was set before him. I was reading a student in Amherst College that when he got to college on his dorm door, he put the letter V, and everybody wondered, why has he got this big V? And he took a lot of kidding, but he never told anybody what it was for. But 4 years later, as he was about to graduate, he was the valedictorian of the college. Because he had that goal, he was obsessed with studying, with doing his best, with always applying himself. And having that goal, he achieved that goal. And it makes us think, what would we put on our door if there was going to be something that focused on our goal in life? Would we have an M? I want to get as much money in life as I can. That's my goal. Or maybe we would have a P for power or for pleasure. That's my goal. Or is our goal indeed a C, to be like Christ? That's what Paul says. I want to become like Christ. That was his goal. And to become like Christ, it meant that he had to be willing to make sacrifices, to not live for himself, but for others as well. And so that was his goal, to share in the sufferings of Christ by becoming like Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul gives a personal testimony of just the number of sufferings he willingly endured for the sake of the gospel. So if you ever think you've given up a little bit as you followed Christ, Paul in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians tells us five times he received 39 lashes of the whip. Can you imagine what his back would have looked like having 39 lashes five different times? He also goes on to say three times he was beaten with rods. That's not little whippy, you know, willow switches. That's broomsticks. Three times beaten with rods. One time he was stoned and left for dead. They thought they had killed Paul, knocked him unconscious. Three times he was shipwrecked. Three times. Once he says, for a full day and a night, shipwrecked at sea before he was rescued. And he says, countless times in danger. All because he wanted to become like Christ in sharing the gospel. And Paul then in Romans 8:18 goes on to say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. He said, the reason he could suffer now was, he says, because I know whatever I suffer here isn't going to compare to the glory that awaits him. So willingly making sacrifices now because, he says, whatever I suffer now, the glory of heaven is so great that awaits us. And that's true for us. You and I are on a journey that eventually is going to lead to heaven. And we can look forward to that glory of heaven, even though along the way we too will face sufferings. And hopefully part of our sufferings are the sacrifices we make so that we may become like Christ, who didn't live for himself but lived for us and for the sake of the world. And so it is, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to share in Christ's sufferings by becoming like Christ? That was Paul's goal, to become like Christ as he headed toward his heavenly prize. Will we give our first fruits of our labors to support the work of the church so that this congregation and others throughout the world can share the gospel message of others? That's one way to make a sacrifice. Just participating in Living Pictures is a sacrifice of giving a lot of time and effort. Serving on a Curcio or a Kairos weekend, that's a huge sacrifice of time and effort so that others may experience the grace of God. Serving a ship meal, forgiving somebody who has done you wrong. All of those are sacrifices, sufferings that we make ourselves, not to suffer, but so that we might take the gospel and share it with others, that they may know God's love in the world. So there are so many different ways we can do it, but the call is that our lives, just as Paul's life was changed, I'm not just about living to follow rules, I'm living to become like Christ. I'm living to share the love of Christ with others. And I'm doing this now, as Paul says, so that I might obtain the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And so it was that goal of heaven that allowed him to endure the sufferings and not become overwhelmed by them, because he says, in my becoming like Christ, I know I'm heading to the ultimate goal, which is that prize of the heavenly call. You know, there is a saying in sports that says, keep your eyes on the prize. And it's so true. If when you see Olympic athletes or those striving for a championship, how much suffering they'll endure because they have a prize in mind. You know, when you think, I think Michael Phelps, who's had more gold medals than anybody in the Olympics, when you hear his schedule of how many hours every day he not only swims in the water, but works on weights. And then you see the diet that he keeps and how he has to train his body. And you say, he a lot more suffering than I would put up with, I know that. But in order to get that prize, he suffers now in order to get the prize that he wants. Well, how much greater prize are we pursuing than an Olympic medal or a championship ring? Our prize is eternal life with Jesus. Our prize is to live with God in that heavenly mansion. So will we make it our goal to become like Christ in this world so that we can obtain the prize that awaits us? So keep your eyes on the prize while you strive to be like Christ. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you've set before us a vision, a heavenly call. where we will be in paradise and will be with you for eternity. Until that day, Lord, help us to become like you, to not just live for ourselves, but to live for our neighbor, to share the gospel where we can, that people may have an abundant life that starts here, but then reaches its fulfillment in the life to come. Lord, keep our eyes on the prize. Amen.